Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are the Morning Beat, and we are, as far as I can still tell, AJ and Michaela, and we're so grateful that you're here hanging out with us on this Monday, August 3rd. It's August, Michaela Gordon, top knot, messy
First
bun.
First of all, it's August, and I don't know if I'm just Michaela anymore, because I had quite a splurge with my TikTok following this weekend.
Okay, I just want you guys
Pretty
to know.
Pretty excited to share with everyone.
This show could go one of many ways today. Michaela's ego has grown exponentially since the last time you heard from her, because she gained over 1,000 followers on TikTok this weekend.
I mean, do I have 1,600 followers? Yeah, I
and
do. Am I bragging? No.
Unrelated news, President Donald Trump might ban TikTok. So, as always, Michaela's timing is pitch perfect. You really are quite the trendsetter.
Listen,
Michaela Gordon.
Todrick Hall posted yesterday. He's like, thank you, everyone, for the 400,000 followers. And I texted him and I was like, 1,500. Not bragging, just saying. I am competition.
Wait, so you really do have 1,600 now?
Yeah, babe.
And you had like 200 when you left here.
200. When I left on Friday, now I have 1,600.
What did you have to do for it?
I can't disclose on air.
You can't?
No.
Your videos are good. I watch you with Trump.
I had to do, well, you know that I hooked up with our John DiDomenico, who plays Trump here. And he's so funny. He just hit 1 million yesterday.
Wow.
He has 1 million followers.
Well, now you seem like a complete and utter failure compared to him. So you're sharing videos together and you have 1,500. He has 1 million. So you're well on your way.
I know. I should have probably kept that part quiet. However, but I'm excited to talk about it because, you know, we often make fun of, I always say, like, I finally made it to Broadway thanks to The Nanny, the musical, and Fran Drescher.
And then a pandemic happened.
And then a pandemic happened and shut down Broadway. Like, I finally got my niche.
Girl, I was all about manifesting that for you too. As soon as 2020, I was like, 2020, perfect vision, clarity, Broadway, here she comes. And then
I know.
Here,
I know.
Here came Miss Corona.
I still have Fran and me side by side on my phone to continue manifesting.
I see it.
And people are like, what is that for? And I'm like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm manifesting.
How old are you in that photo?
Okay, that's 17. But
I'm not saying it's time to move on. I'm not saying it. Maybe just a newer photo. There's probably a more current photo
goodbye.
Of you.
It's never a news a thing.
Wow. Do we have the rights to that song? Oh, wait, it's radio.
It's Taylor Dane. She's been on the show.
Okay, fair enough.
She's one of our best friends.
One of our best friends. Well, I've never met her.
Well, mine.
So
in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a great show coming up today. Who knows what we're talking about? We've got James Simmons, Dr. James. Listen, COVID updates. He's giving us an update on clusters, COVID clusters, what you need to know to stay safe. Also, crazy bosses. We're talking about those in just a moment. We've all had a few. We might have one now. Who knows? We're not going to say names, Brian. Hopefully he's not listening. It's 6:15 West Coast time. We're going to have that conversation as well. Listen, age gaps in relationships. I know about them. You know about them. I'm not going to throw out any numbers just yet, but I am 10 years older than my partner. There, I said it. I won't reveal your tea, Michaela Gordon.
Thank you.
But we're going to talk about them and how big is too big. It's a lot going on.
There's a lot. I saw a relationship that was like a 23-year age difference.
Mm.
And it does make you think. You're like, I mean, whatever. You can have a lot in common and there's no judgment, but we're talking about it.
We're 9.5. And I will tell you that it's brought up some interesting conversations
in
our relationship. So we'll go on to that in just a little bit. But first, Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in news on the beat?
All right. Well, more than 1,000 Southern California firefighters and multiple aircraft worked Sunday to battle the Apple Fire near Beaumont, which had spread to more than 20,000 acres, sent smoke drifting to Arizona, and continued to threaten thousands of homes in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. The massive blaze, which began Friday evening as two smaller fires that eventually merged, was fed by low humidity, a slight breeze, thick vegetation, and temperatures. By midday Sunday, the Apple Fire had scorched 20,000 acres, more than 32 square miles, destroyed three structures, and was 5% contained by 8 p.m. Sunday night. About 1,300 firefighters and multiple aircraft were battling the blaze and dropping water and fire from the air. Earlier Sunday, some official reports said the fire was 12% contained. Now, about 7,800 people from 2,600 residents have been ordered to evacuate. No injuries. I'll tell you what, last week when I went to Palm Springs, shout out 103.1 FM, there was a major fire when we were driving up. It took a long time for them to contain it. And even this weekend, I believe the Hollywood sign was on fire for a moment, too.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Where'd you hear that?
I thought I saw that. It was July 30th. It was by the Hollywood sign, and it was totally on fire. They were able to contain it. Nobody was injured, but same.
Wait, was the Hollywood sign on fire?
It was right by the Hollywood sign, but they were in fear that it was going to get the Hollywood. I mean, could you imagine? 2020 would be over.
He used to say Hollywood Land.
Hollywood Land.
If that wouldn't be a sign of, like, the Republicans always say that God's coming for the liberals and the Hollywood elites. Yeah. I don't know if that would be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty close.
Yikes.
So be careful. All right, babe, give us a vibe. Oh, let's do a little weather.
Yeah.
Speaking of the hot, 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 honey. Okay, let me get my app. It's Monday. Calm down, everybody. She's a weather girl.
She's so
a weather
prepared.
Girl. It's 66 in L.A., 79 in Vegas, 79 in Houston. Oh, surprise, 55 in San Francisco.
Always 55 in San Francisco.
88 in Phoenix, 79 in Baltimore, and 78 St. Louis. Now give us a vibe of the day now.
One word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge. You never know what one word can do. Speaking of one, $1 can also do a lot. So right now, children and their families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry. Channel Q and Radio.com have an easy way for you to help feed local students and their families right now. Text the word NEED, that's N-E-E-D, to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Listen, this is just $1, less than the cost of a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Less than what you'd put in your parking meter to run in and grab that cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
It can make a huge difference. Learn more about Feed Our Families on our socials and at WeAreChannelQ.com.
So special. That's a really big deal for us here at Radio.com. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, sure. We're in a global pandemic. People are unemployed.
What?
We're looking for jobs. But would you take these jobs? And how crazy would your boss have to be to finally walk away? We're talking about it coming up next.
Basically, it's this or auto universe.
So you don't read Runway?
No.
And before today, you had never heard of me?
No.
And you have no style or sense of fashion?
Well, I think that depends on what you're...
No. That wasn't a question.
Yes!
I will tell you, Miranda Priestley is one of the most iconic characters in the history of film. My partner and I watched The Devil Wears Prada a couple weeks ago, and that movie holds up, honey.
It holds up.
You know what else holds up? Anne Hathaway's fashion. Once she goes from being I don't know, like frumpy to like chic,
the fashion holds up. Is Anne Hathaway, period.
Totally.
She still looks like when she was in the Princess movie.
Princess Diaries?
Yes.
You were so close. You literally said the prince. You said the first two words of the three-word title.
Yeah, but you know I'm like one word away every
princess
time.
Movie. Emily Blunt's fashion, however, does not hold up. If you look at her eyeshadow alone in that movie, it's terrible. But we're talking about crazy wild bosses. Who's the wildest boss you've ever worked for? I've never worked for quite a Miranda Priestley. I think that's a pretty extreme version. But we came across this posting on entertainmentcareers.net. It's a job listing site for people in the industry. It's used by a lot of people out here in Hollywood. And one LA influencer. Now, this is a famous, probably YouTuber, a well-known celebrity influencer.
Do we know who it is, Justin? We don't know. Okay,
we don't know the name.
Remain anonymous.
All we do know is that they have over 10 million plus followers on YouTube.
Quote, unquote.
Right. So, they're famous, basically. Listen, girl, if you have 1,500 followers on TikTok and you're famous.
I need an assistant.
This person's basically Julie Roberts. Let's say it's Julie Roberts from here on out, okay? Because she, in my mind, is the most famous person on the planet.
I'm still, to this day, Pretty Woman.
Well, so this person is looking for an assistant, a part-time personal assistant, okay?
Wait, this is part-time?
Part-time.
This is part-time.
Yes. The job, okay, it doesn't start off too bad. The job pays between $25 and $30 an hour based on experience. That's not bad. Even for LA, that's not a bad gig, right? That's decent money. The assistant must also be, quote, on call almost 24/7.
So that's where I
that's
got confused.
Where it gets dicey.
How
yeah.
does it become part time to being on call 24/7?
But not necessarily paid for the on call part.
Oh, hey.
Because if you've seen Devil Wears Prada, you know that Miranda Priestly is calling her all day, every day.
Okay. Well, here's the issue. You have to be so overly qualified for this job because you have to research, prepare all pre-production and production and post-production activities. Now, that's like a whole job all by itself.
Well, our producer knows about that.
One thing.
We literally walk out of studio and then we're like, okay, Justin, tell us what the show is tomorrow. And we maybe on occasion we'll send him an article or two and then that's it. And then we come in like, oh, what are we doing? Great. And then we'll be like, oh, we don't like that story. And he's like,
but
wait, I spent time doing this.
By itself.
Totally, it's a
They're
job by itself.
They're asking you to also, now you must be able to handle hundreds of small tasks at once.
But also be on property for around 8 hours a day. Not just doing work, but cleaning, cooking, communicating with the producer, videographer, editor, manager, stylist, cleaning services, other celebrities, and friends.
Not this.
And friends.
Wait, not this bitch. You must be able to be the bad guy, remove emotion, handle intense conversations, and bounce back instantly from any mistake without emotion. Honey, you lost me. I'm a glass case of emotion.
Can you imagine? We need to get you hired for this job.
Wait, we need to get you hired.
Can we try to get her hired?
Apply? Well, here's where they lost me.
Okay.
Honestly, I can't. You must remain sober yet social and inviting in very high profile environments. Honey, I'm a star and I'm having a cocktail. You'd lose me right there.
Not allowed to take photos either or post anything on social media. What's the point of working for a famous influencer if you can't even brag about it? That would be the only upside to it.
Not you have to wake the client each day with schedule, coffee, and all other requests. Bitch, get your own coffee. You have
who
two legs.
Is that?
I need to know who this
you
is.
You know what this job feels like? You know the plot line to Cinderella, right? Where she has to go in the morning and open the curtains slowly and have their breakfast prepared for them, and then she lives downstairs with the rats. That's what this job sounds like.
They say it again. The ideal candidate, according to the listing, has to have a car, live within 40 to 60 miles of Los Angeles, is fluent in English, proactive, and again, not being emotional. What kind?
Wait.
You're driving this person to drugs.
Wait, did you
Whatever
see this
Whatever influencer
one?
This is, you're driving them to
organize and unpack clients' bags constantly. Constantly, it says.
Listen to me.
Where's this client going? We're in a global pandemic.
I go on a trip. I don't unpack my bags for months.
Just sits there in the corner.
By the time I go on vacation, I'm already packed from the time I didn't unpack.
It's the only reason my partner and I almost break up. If I go away for a quick weekend in New York City, I come back, that luggage is sitting there for a week at least.
Oh, yeah. I just renew it. I just reuse all of it.
Wow.
Actual work hours will be flexible, but generally expect to be with the client at all time, minimal days off.
Okay, so I
You
listen.
Said part-time, bitch!
Part-time.
You said it!
I thought this job was a lot because we have to be here 5 hours a day.
It is actually this job. If you guys are playing for Channel Q, this is actually
Listen, we could pool our money together and get an assistant. I'm not paying him $30 an hour, though.
Listen, this person deserves way more than $30 an hour. You've just thought that this is such a setup.
I need someone for an hour a day. Like an hour.
You thought you were applying for part-time and low-key they were like, got to be here 8 hours a day. That's full-time already. And then you got to be on your call. You got to be on call 24/7, minimal days off, be with the client at all times.
Yeah.
At what point did you have to do everything except wipe their butt when they go to the bathroom?
Here's the thing. Going back to The Devil Wears Prada, when she got hired, Annie, that was her name in the film, right? Annie. When Annie got hired, she had to get through that year working for Miranda Priestly because it was going to open up so many doors for her.
Yeah, what
if
is
you
this
can't
opening?
Even tell people who you work for or post anything on social media, what's the upside?
Yeah, your 30 social
bucks
media
an hour?
Isn't growing.
$30 an hour. The average is out to actually. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Oh, Gus.
I think
I'm gonna
apply for this job, just for fun.
We should try to get you hired.
And then I'm gonna say I'm also a star.
then you need to listen. Your only request should be that you can be the assistant, but you should also have an income to hire an assistant.
I'm going to say, listen, I'm applying for this job, but I don't know if you know this. I was actually on American Idol 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I did come in top 12. I lost to Carrie Underwood. I have since worked with Fran Drescher and Tyra Banks.
And AJ Gibson.
And I...
So just drop that in there somewhere.
Have 1,584 followers on TikTok.
Please cut her mic. Cut her mic. It's that time in the morning where we like to check in with each other because we take mental health very seriously here at Channel Q and on the Morning Beat. I know you had a really big weekend this weekend, Michaela Gordon. Your before your ego gets away from you, I just want to check in on you. Mm-hmm. How are you handling the newfound fame?
You guys, it's so difficult. Can I get a little music, Justin? Actually, just anything really, just something great.
That's what our producer deals with. Hey, Justin, we're actually on air now. I just had this idea.
Well,
can you pull any song in the world?
I didn't know that you were going to honestly ask me. A little lower.
You give it the circus theme.
Just a little bit lower.
She said anything.
Yeah.
That's okay. If you just turn it down a little bit more. Thank you so much. You know, when I started this journey of TikTok, I never knew what kind of fame I was going to come into. Everybody said it was a joke. And, you know, our bosses really, really wanted us to start a TikTok. And I've decided that I was ready to commit last week. We had an influencer call in.
He's been asking us for 6 months. I've been saying no the entire time. Michaela, 6 months later, is like,
yes.
Got nothing else going on.
And I took this time this week. I found my niche. As you guys know, I play Melania Trump. And we have our very own Trump, John DiDomenico, and he had me come to Vegas, and we did a few TikToks as Melania and Trump. He has now hit 1 million followers.
Oh, he's at 1 million?
He is at 1 million.
So you're probably close then, right?
I am very close.
How many more?
I am at 1,584.
You're only 1,584 away from 1 million?
I am about 98,000.
Oh, you're at 1,584 total.
Yes. But, you know, the good news about me is I'm resilient.
You sure are.
And I went out there with a plan, and I got that plan. And you can follow me on TikTok at MichaelaG88.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, MichaelaGordon88.
You don't know your name yet.
It's at MichaelaGordon88. And because of that, we have a lot going on now.
Is there another Michaela Gordon who has?
Yeah, there is. Some little bitch.
Let's get it.
They don't even post anything.
I tried to buy my Instagram one time for a mother in South Dakota. She wouldn't sell it to me. Her daughter.
Well, listen,
ballet.
I might be in trouble. We're going to talk about it later because I feel like this is a very me thing to do. I'm finally on my way to real fame, and Trump might be banning TikTok.
Well, you almost made it to Broadway, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
You almost made it to TikTok fame, and now he's going to cancel TikTok.
But I'm killing it, you guys. Like, people think I'm so funny. It's like that really was for me.
We're in a global pandemic. Let's not use that phrase anymore. Killing it. Are you going viral, Michaela?
I was. Not. And now, to make matters worse, I saw my niece, who's 3 years old. Her name's Natalia. You guys know her. And she used to be my pride and joy. Was everything to me. When she was born, I was on stage singing, and I got a call that my sister-in-law was in labor. I jumped off stage, hopped into an Uber in my gown and boa.
No.
Yes,
this
I
is
did.
So Michaela.
This totally happened. I knew my sister-in-law wanted snacks. I made the Uber stop me at 7-Eleven. Somehow he got it wrong and left me at the 7-Eleven. This is not a joke. I had to walk the rest of the way to the hospital. I found strangers that were walking, and I was like, hey, do you guys mind walking me to the hospital? My niece,
in a gown?
In a gown, and my sister goes, only you would ask strangers to walk you so that you wouldn't get harmed by strangers. Like, that's you. Anyway, I've been there for Natalia my whole life, well, her whole life, and she's 3, she's almost 4.
There's
we
a point
took
to the story,
her
right?
To the nail salon yesterday, and the point is, I've also lost my role as Zia Mika. She only wants Zia Lisa now.
I mean, you're not famous to her at all.
I'm not famous to her. TikTok is being banned. Nanny the Musical has been put on hold.
Day late and a dollar short, the story of your life.
I could have been something, but now I'm a nothing.
We've got a great hour coming up for you here on The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Monday. It's officially the first week in August. We're so glad you're here. And about 15 minutes from right now, Michaela Gordon has been on a journey, a long, long journey in her life that really culminated in just utter success this weekend. That's all
Thank
I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Is now a TikTok star.
I didn't know it was for me, but turns out you're right.
But is it too little too late? Because Trump might be banning TikTok as early as this week. So there's that.
It really is just my luck. And well, Jeff, Brian, if you're listening, I started TikTok. I started thriving. But even Trump won't let me do that.
But there could be a lifeline, Michaela. There could be a little surprise twist to this windy little tale of TikTok. They could get bought out by somebody very, very big. We have that story coming up in 15 minutes. So stick around for that. Also this hour, we're talking about age gaps in relationships. Michaela and I are on the opposite ends of the age gaps in our relationships. I'm the, the old hen?
Yeah. The veteran.
Yep, I'm the what?
You're the veteran.
I'm the veteran, and she's the spring
chicken.
Chicken. and her relationship.
Go on.
How big is too big when it comes to age gaps? So we're going to have that discussion this hour as well. But first, we want to tell you about something really, really cool we're doing here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So right now, children and their families all over Southern California are going to bed hungry. That is unacceptable. ChannelQRadio.com teamed up. Radio.com owns us, so that is a good team, right?
Yeah.
Have teamed up and found a really easy way for you to help feed local students and their families. All you have to do is text the word NEED, N-E-E-D, to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Listen, it's just $1. That is nothing.
It's $1. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have to put it into perspective for yourself, I was with my niece this weekend. She's 3 years old. She's so fun. She's so sweet. And to imagine her being hungry and not being able to eat or be okay, it's not something
it's
that
not okay.
I can imagine. And I know that you have your loved ones. It's $1. Yeah. Even in a pandemic, it just goes so far.
It makes a big difference. So text NEED to 76278. Learn more about Feed Our Families on our socials and at wearechannelq.com. Now, Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in news on the beat, my friend?
All right. Well, did you say my friend?
You are my friend. Well, I'm trying to ride your coattails now that you're famous. So there's that.
Get in line. More than 1,000 Southern California firefighters and multiple aircraft worked Sunday to battle the Apple Fire near Beaumont, which had spread to more than 20,000 acres, sent smoke drifting to Arizona, and continued to threaten thousands of homes in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. The massive blaze, which began Friday evening as two smaller fires that eventually merged, was fed by low humidity, a slight breeze, thick vegetation, and triple-digit temperatures. Now, by midday Sunday, the Apple Fire had scorched 20,000 acres, more than 32 square miles, destroyed three structures, and was 5% contained by 8 p.m. Sunday night. About 1,300 firefighters and multiple aircraft were battling the blaze and dropping water and fire from the air. Earlier Sunday, some official reports had said the fire was 12% contained, though California Fire Captain Fernando Herrera confirmed there has never been any containment. Now, that's 7,800 people from 2,600 residences being ordered to evacuate. And that's so dangerous right now. And it's so hot. I mean, doing the weather, it's just been hot all over the U.S. So it's dangerous to see.
And there's also so much going on for people right now.
I mean, that's like the last thing you can deal with.
Things to
worry
about.
I'll tell you, there was a huge fire in Palm Springs just last weekend. And, you know, they were getting close to the houses. Luckily, nobody needed to evacuate. But that's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is.
All right, another news. Another week, another round of contentious stimulus negotiations on the Hill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows are supposed to meet today to try and get closer to a bipartisan stimulus agreement. The major sticking point now is that $600 unemployment benefit that lapsed at the end of last week, as well as how much more funding state and local governments should get. Both sides have failed to find common ground, but with jobless numbers up for the second week in a row, the pressure to get something done is only going to increase. I know that's really going to start affecting people. It's just so upsetting.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like they've delayed the real cost of the pandemic up to this point, and now, you know, people are going to be starting to get evicted.
Yeah.
We could see a major crisis here in the housing market in Los Angeles in particular, and every major city across the country. And then the unemployment benefits, they've got to figure that out.
I know it. I know. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's 66 in Kansas City, 81 in Houston, 84 in Miami, 88 in Phoenix, 64 in Chicago, and 73 in Cleveland. Now hit us with the vibe of the day, babe.
One word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge. Those words could not be more true.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it takes one word and I'm like, okay.
Got it.
Okay, I'm doing something. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, Jess, well, coming up, talk about doing something. I joined TikTok over the weekend and I am thriving, but
all comes
is
back
it
to TikTok.
A little too late with Trump talking about banning TikTok. We have those details and how it could affect your social media dreams coming up next.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options, but a lot of things are happening. So we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok.
No!
That's President Trump speaking from Air Force One on Friday night. Around the same time, Michaela was just wrapping up day one of her all of her shoots for TikTok.
Let me tell you,
dressed up as Melania Trump.
Let me just write this down real quick. I have fought tooth and nail to get on TikTok. I didn't get it. I didn't want to. then I got a call from our very own Trump, John DiDomenico, and he said, Michaela, come back, do Melania with me. We got 90 days till election. Let's just have fun. You were so great. I said, fine, I'll do it. I dye my hair back to blonde from black. I completely damage it in the sake of doing Melania. I go drive to Vegas this weekend. We film a bunch of hilarious things. He's almost at 1 million followers, my very own Trump.
Yep.
In the middle of us filming, his fiance goes, oh, you're never going to believe this. I said, what? And Lisa said, what? She goes, oh, my God. And we said, what?
It's so perfect 2020.
What? She goes, Trump just said he's going to ban TikTok. I literally, my face went pale white like Casper the Ghost. I said, I have finally committed to a Melania and to a TikTok, and you're going to tell me that this man.
You need to write these stories down. This is literally a chapter in your book.
Truly, like, I literally finally have somebody who has 1 million followers that wants to collab with me. It's killing. And they're saying, so Saturday we went back. I said, do we continue filming Saturday TikTok? He goes, listen, we're just going to film it. If they get rid of it, we'll just have the footage. We'll take it elsewhere.
Yep.
And I was like, this isn't even fun anymore.
Many people have a theory, and I'm kind of on board with this one, is that he's been holding a grudge since June 20th. Remember the rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, supposed to be attended by 1 million people. They had overflow areas set up upstairs. They were supposed to fill or outside. They had the entire arena booked. And then users on TikTok, young people around the world, reserved tickets. And it turns out only 6,000 people ended up going to this thing. I think he blames TikTok for being so humiliated back in June, which is why he's now got a vendetta. I mean, there are concerns about TikTok. I mean, they're owned by a Chinese-based company called ByteDance. And there's concern that they are taking, I think it was explained to us, other social media as such as Instagram or Facebook takes about a water glass full of your information when you sign up. But TikTok takes like an ocean full.
Yeah.
So they're taking a lot of information. That is a very real concern. The RNC and the DNC have both banned it from their users. I get it.
I just feel like it's a personal vendetta towards
me. For him, though,
I'm taking it personally, Trump.
Well, there have been memes going around all weekend. I saw these memes all weekend long where people were like, listen, how can the president still not ban semi-automatic assault rifles, but TikTok like that?
Right.
It's a big concern for him.
Well, you know, it's funny because I will say this. I can't believe I'm coming to the defense of TikTok, but I was dragging it. I was like, this is for Zillennials. I don't even get it. It's so stupid. It's people just doing other people's choreography. And in many ways, it is. But as I was going through TikTok, it's actually pretty cool. In just a matter of like 1 minute, there's a lot of DIY projects.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of really helpful like parenting
Well, there's
things.
Also a lot of LGBTQ plus representation on TikTok,
my God,
which is great.
So much. And people that would probably never get seen really have the opportunity to share their stories.
Well, Vanessa Pappas, she is the U.S. general manager of TikTok. She posted this weekend to kind of try to put people's minds at ease.
We're not planning on going anywhere. TikTok is a home for creators and artists to express themselves, their ideas, and connect with people across different backgrounds. And we are so proud of all the various communities that call TikTok their home. I'm also proud of our 1,500 US employees who work on this app every day and the additional 10,000 jobs that we're bringing into this country over the next 3 years.
Well, I got to tell you something, and this is a big deal because my Trump told me this as well. First of all, I will also say this. I spent an entire weekend filming content for TikTok. That's literally what it takes. They say the consistency that you have to put forth is like one to two videos a day at least. And it is a full-time job. I mean, it really is, all joking aside. And so they said that they were going to give they had a $1 billion budget to give creators on TikTok money so that they could start filming from home and actually make money creating. And I think that's really fair. I think that what they're doing, also, as stupid as it sounds, like the whole editing process, it's a full job. And that would be really cool if they did. But now I'm wondering, are they going to continue doing that?
Well, there is actually, there are talks right now, and Donald Trump is expected to make a statement on this today or tomorrow at some point. But Microsoft is considering a full buyout of TikTok to save it. So, again, there's that could go a whole lot of different ways. Bill Gates. Microsoft, depends how you feel about Bill Gates. Is this a monopoly? Is he now controlling even more information? Do you trust that? Or are you of the mindset that Bill and Melinda Gates give back billions of dollars to people all the time and they're charitable and it's a good thing? It depends where you fall on that belief system, but Microsoft is looking to kind of save TikTok. Or is this just a play to, again, keep power and keep it out of...
I think it's a power play. So, I do. I feel like if this...
I don't want China having my information, but I also don't know if I want Bill Gates having all of it.
But I'm saying if this app has the ability to literally... somebody told me that it has the ability to see inside of your home. Like, just the app alone, you can see inside your home.
Oh, I deleted mine long ago.
Yeah, it's like really... Now, for me, I have no boundaries and I'm so desperate to be famous. Look inside my home. I don't care. Yeah. You can see anything inside of my mouth. I literally don't care. But for people that do care about themselves...
Ew.
For people that do respect themselves in their career, they may be terrified. So I don't know. It might be a power play. What I will say is I am at now 1,600 followers. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
You are shameless.
I'm on the road to fame. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, age gaps in relationships. How big is too big? Does it affect you? And is it weird? We're talking about it coming up next.
All right, you are listening to The Morning Beat right now. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're talking about age gaps in relationships. How big is too big? I'm in a bit of an age gap in my relationship. I will admit it. I just turned 40. My partner is 30. That's not too...
I don't think that's bad at all.
Okay. That's not too bad. What is too big?
You know, I'll never judge. I try to remember that love is love. But I did see this, speaking of TikTok, this girl was sharing her love story with her partner and how they've come together. And he was 52 and she was 18.
Okay, that's a
he
bit.
He actually went to her prom with her. As her prom date. Mm. And they're still very much together. She's 24 now. And I think, you know, here's why I think it's an issue when they're 52 and 18. I did so much stuff when I was 18 that I needed to do, right? Like, I had to do it. At 20, I had to do it. At 24, I had to do it. And I feel like being with somebody that's 52... Dude, you've already done your thing. And although it makes you feel more like youthful and young, like, let the 18-year-old live. All right. Feel like it holds him back. So,
all right, well, let's go a little more in depth in this. Let's give you another specific example.
Okay.
So do you remember the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix?
Who doesn't?
Terrible. I watched it twice. It was amazing.
They're
but
actually
also
selling
really...
merch right now for like $10. That's insane. If you could believe it.
Okay. That's I'm gonna thing. Post an orange square on my social media. If you don't get the reference, go watch the documentary. So there was one character, I'm gonna call them all characters. That stood out in particular. His name is Andy King. Do you remember Andy King?
He was
the one gay guy in the crew trying to put this festival together. And he was asked to go do something unthinkable to get water shipped to the island for the festival. Let him put it in his own words.
Customs had said to Billy and the gang, "You need to pay us $175,000 in cash today for us to release the water." I went down. Well, Billy called me. I'm going to speak completely, this won't go that far, I'm sure, but Billy called and said, "Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team."
So he took one big thing for the team, and so, you could probably figure out what that was.
Almost. He was right. So he was going to perform oral sex to get this water for this festival.
That's the kind of friend I need.
He speaks very openly
about
it.
That's a good friend.
Well.
How about when he goes like this? This probably won't go very far. Went viral immediately.
That's what he says.
Everywhere.
Every single person on the planet has seen the documentary twice. So he's 58 years old. He is by trade, he is an event planner. That's what he does. He's never been asked to do something quite like this for an event, I'm sure. And hopefully will never be asked again. But he took to Instagram the other day to reveal that he has found love. He's 58.
Oh.
His partner is 26 years old. I don't know. I mean, that
so
seems
what is
like,
it, a 32-year-old difference?
That's a big, I'm not good
I
with
mean,
math.
I mean, 2 years?
Math. Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
It is.
Yeah, 32.
So that would be like right now, I just to put it, you know, quite honestly, they'd be like a little baby and me.
Yeah, you're 32 now.
Yeah, and I
whoa.
like it'd be like in 32 years, that
what
baby
if you're holding
grows
like a little,
up.
Like a friend has a baby and all of a sudden down the road you're like having intercourse with that baby. That's a weird thing to even think about. But like that's how,
okay.
But that's the reality of it all. Not with the baby, obviously,
the baby
with an adult person.
Up.
But that's a weird thing to think about.
The thing for me is I feel like I would never, for me personally, I don't like people younger than me, period. Not even a couple of years, yeah. Not 2 years, whatever. There's a little age gap between Lisa and I as well, but I tend to like older people. I feel like when I wouldn't want to even date somebody my age, but I would date somebody older. But I don't know if I could date somebody that's 60 years old. What's 32 years with me and what would they be, 64?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be like me dating a 64-year-old right now.
Well,
I don't know, because here's the thing too. I want to have kids. So then you have to have the conversation. Well, yes. Like, are we going to have children? Are you comfortable having children? Like, also you're 64. Like, is that weird?
Are you going to be in a nursing home in a few years? And I'm raising a 5-year-old. Like, those are real concerns. Listen, we always like, it's so strange to me even to think about. So when I was 18, my partner was 10. And that's strange.
That's weird
that's
to think
really
about.
That's really weird to think about. And also, especially, I would say, especially for anybody born, we're called Xennials, between 1977 and 1983, the world changed so much from the time I was a teenager to the time I was in my 20s. Like, I remember what it's like to live without all social media, without computers, I took keyboard classes on a keyboard, on a typewriter when I was younger. And then everything shifted very quickly. My partner knows nothing of that. So in some ways, it almost feels like we're 20 or 30 years apart in age.
Yeah, the conversations are different.
Shifted so quickly. He sees social media in one way. I see it as like this sort of, it's great, but also there's like a major downside to it. And we miss out on life a lot because of it. He sees it as a way to stay connected all the time and he loves it. So and that's just one of the most minor things. I can't imagine being 30 some years apart in age.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Some people can make it work. And you know, you don't know everybody's story. I will say that when I was 26, I probably needed to continue being 26 because from 26 to 32, I have changed drastically.
Yeah.
I mean, night and day kind of person.
From 39 to 40, I'm a different person.
Right. So I'm just thinking 26 years old dating a 58-year-old, I'm sorry.
Yikes.
You know, whatever, but to each his own, you know? We know that, you know, that's normal for some people.
Well, I'm sure this kid saw the documentary and still was ready to go, so.
Listen, he knows
maybe
it
was a selling point.
Who
knows?
He knows his man is ready to take one for the team, honey, and he was like, that's the kind of man I want. Just wanted to just do what you got to do.
Well, they'll never go thirsty.
No.
Never go thirsty. Is that a bad joke?
H2O, honey.
I'm going to tell you, Michaela Gordon, when I was a young gay man coming out for the first time, I took a trip to New York City with my best friend Heidi at the time. I think I was 19.
I'm your best friend.
Listen, I was at the time I said, calm down. I didn't know you yet. And I was like 19 years old. It was the first time in my life that I was openly gay and out around a group of people. I was around a bunch of theater kids. And we went and saw my first Broadway show ever, which was Cabaret.
Oh,
incredible.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Playing Sally Bowles was Leah Thompson. I had no idea she could sing and dance. She was incredible.
I've been in
love with her since Back to the Future. I followed her career forever. She's in the news again right now, though, for a totally different reason. You have that story for us. What's popping?
Yeah, okay, you guys, this story is getting more and more wild as far as Ellen DeGeneres goes. Now, last week we talked about Warner Media doing a full investigation of her mistreatment of her staff and of her guests. And, you know, then it was like more and more people were coming out. But Brad Garrett, you know and love him. He's a really funny comedian. He has a great comedy club.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Of course. But he's a great comedy club in Vegas that I've actually been to. And he's just so funny. He tweeted on Thursday
Oh, yeah, he did say that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry
that it comes from the top. I know. He said that it's true. It was a toxic, and everybody knows that she's pretty terrible to people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when you start hearing from people like that, you kind of have to. Brad Garrett has nothing to lose, nothing to gain, by doing this.
And when one celebrity does it, it opens the door for others.
So Leah Thompson then tweeted after him, true story, it is. And that was in response to Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
Now, Scooter Braun, who we know often comes to the defense of people, said people love to take shots. They love to see people fall. How quickly so many forget. I'm going to be honest, though. I'm putting a lot of weight into Brad Garrett and Leah Thompson. I mean, they have nothing to gain or lose.
Scooter Braun is also, I mean,
he's also problematic.
Exactly. And he's had to be defended many times, too. And so it would be a good look for him to come out and support somebody else in power. People in power tend to support people in power.
Yeah, of course. But here's the things. So then rumors started circulating that Ellen just said, I don't even want to do this show anymore.
Well, I heard that this weekend, yeah.
And then it was actually said that maybe James Corden would be the one to take over for her if she were to leave. But now Ellen producers are dismissing the show cancellation rumors, and they're saying nobody is going off air. That was from Andy Lassner, who tweeted, he just said that, you know, in a pandemic, this is, you know, what's happening. That's why she's off air, but she's coming back. I will say, though, I went to Ellen's Instagram and the comments are turned off. People are dragging her so much that they've had to now turn the Instagram comments off.
Well, okay, put yourself in Ellen's shoes. Let's say that this is true or not true. Either way, it's an impossible situation for her. She's, because you can't take away the fact that she has done so much, especially for the LGBTQ plus community, especially for people in need. She's raised millions and millions and donated millions of dollars to people, and she's pushed conversations of kindness forward.
Listen, she definitely has.
So you can't take that away from her, but also,
I don't think anybody has, but I think they're saying what we are taking away from you is your mistreatment of people.
Allegedly,
when the cameras
hopefully,
are off.
Yes.
And you're right, allegedly, but for Brad Garrett, for Leah Thompson to really come out and say something, we're not talking about influencers. We're not talking about people trying to climb the chain.
Yep.
We're talking about people that have established careers. They have more than enough money, hopefully, to keep them afloat.
Also, and just to play Angel's Advocate, is it possible? Have you ever had a day where you were just kind of foul to people?
This doesn't sound like a day. This sounds like
But I'm saying, though, if they've each had an experience with her that's foul, it's possible that she was just having an awful day those days. And maybe she has one awful day a week.
Well, Brad Garrett said it's known that she's horrible to people.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it too for years. I'm trying to hear all sides.
Listen, I understand, but I think that we know what's going on, and we're going to continue keeping you updated. Now, coming up in our next hour, what's the pettiest thing you've ever done after a breakup? Of course, I have my stories, AJ has his, but you don't want to miss what this man did after his girlfriend broke up
with
him.
The audio is so good.
The audio is incredible. We'll have that coming up the next hour.
We are the new Channel Q, and we're so grateful for your support. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, as always. Coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, we're having a discussion on the pettiest thing you've ever done during a breakup.
Not me.
This is one you're going to want to hear, because I know Michaela's pretty petty, but I've got a story that I'm going to share as well that might just one-up yours, but neither of them will one-up what this one man is doing in Australia. That's right. It's all the way from Australia. The story is so good, we had to share it with you. He's petty. And we have some really fun audio that goes with that, so make sure you stick around for that conversation. Michaela Gordon, it's Monday. I feel like we're thriving.
I do too. I'm loving our stories. I'm loving life today. I feel good. I feel really good.
I genuinely don't usually love Mondays, but I'm kind of feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, I started working out again, Michaela. I lifted weights. 4 days.
Slow down, sis.
In the last week.
It feels good, though. Mm-hmm. Changed your mental.
I've been outdoors.
Mentality, everything.
Sweating, feeling great. I couldn't walk for the first few days, but I'm working through it now.
I know. It feels good. You know, I feel like I had a little recharge. I got to go to Vegas. And I'll tell you something. They're seeing my niece.
She's wild.
She's such a bitch.
She's so wild.
She's so wild. She's 3 years old. She's everything I've ever wanted her to be. But also, so dangerously, she's obsessed with Zia Lisa, only wants to be with Zia Lisa. She got a manicure and a pedicure, but she's so smart. Like, it's so funny to see little kids now. I feel like they're just, I said, what are you going to do for your birthday? Her birthday is next month.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm having an Ariel birthday. And then she said, Mom, hand me your phone. And so my sister handed her her phone, and she knew how to go on Amazon to look at costumes.
Oh, can I tell you?
And then she knew how to go back, but she's 3.
Can I tell you that I've spent hours listening to my partner tell his mother how to search for something on her phone. Hours.
No.
She's an intelligent woman, but these kids nowadays, they grow up with it, and it's just second nature to them.
But she just knew what to do, and then she was like, oh, Ziamika, it's this one, but with the red wig. I mean, she's 3. This
also,
is
how does she know who Ariel is?
Well, that's mine and her mother's favorite.
Well done.
Favorite.
It's one of the all-time greats.
I know. She's so cute. But, you know, there's just so much.
Did you ever wonder, just quickly, though, and this is, I mean, maybe rainbow casting before we realized what rainbow casting was, but first of all, how did King Triton have so many daughters, and how were all of his daughters so very different? They must have had many different mothers.
They did. Well, it was like Mermaid World. I remember I used to go swimming, and I would keep my feet glued to each other so that I could have a flipper so that I could swim like a mermaid. And I would drown every time.
You can buy them.
Yeah, but not when I was seven.
I have friends who are social influencers who might have one you can borrow.
I don't want it at 32 now.
Of course you do.
Okay.
Of course, you're exactly. You're not that different than you were when you were seven, I'm sure.
My address is 9.
That actually is the beginning of your address.
It is.
Don't give that away.
It's so funny. And, you know, she's just beautiful and she's smart and she's. Kids are wild now.
Kids are wild. And you know what? They need our love. Their families need our love right now. We're doing something really cool here in Southern California for families who are going to bed hungry, which is completely unacceptable. Channel Q and radio.com, we have an easy way for you to help feed local students and their families. Text the word NEED, N-E-E-D, to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Just $1. I mean, $1 can go so far, make such a huge difference.
Listen, go into that change purse of yours. You can find a dollar made out of change. Yep. I'm telling you.
You put a couple dollars in a parking meter every time you park your car. It's a dollar, and it can feed a family.
Yeah, it can.
Learn more by heading over to wearechannelq.com or check out our socials. Also, this is Southern California, but there are organizations like this across the country.
Feeding
America is a great one. There's great ones in different cities everywhere.
Our program director literally just said that over the weekend, families were waiting since 4 a.m. to get food.
Yeah.
I mean, for parents.
That's not okay.
It's not okay.
Do what you can.
It's tough and
it's hard. Do what you can, even if it's a dollar.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us in news on the beat, Michaela Gordon?
All right, Babel. Students are already heading back to school in the U.S. and plans to keep the coronavirus out of the classroom are already showing some cracks. An Indiana junior high school student tested positive on the first day back after attending class for part of the day. Another student in Mississippi tested positive after the first week of classes. And Georgia's largest school district confirmed that at least 260 employees have either tested positive for COVID-19 or have been exposed. In areas where school hasn't started yet, leaders are still considering plans. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he'll make a decision later this week about whether schools in his state should plan to reopen. I'll tell you what, it's another conversation, speaking of kids, that I had with my sister-in-law. And she said, no way, I'm not sending my kids back to school. It's just not happening. I don't feel safe.
Yeah, I understand, but also for so many parents, they don't have childcare and they don't have the means to keep. So it's like, I don't want to put our kids or I don't believe they should be going back to school, period, right now in most places.
Well, to be fair, a friend of mine, though, who is a healthcare worker and RN in Vegas, she has a little boy. And I said, are you going to send him back to school? And she said, I absolutely am. And she's a nurse. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the right decision is. I'm not a parent, so I don't understand.
Well, the CDC keeps setting forth all these guidelines. Then we just ignore them. Like, what's the point of having them then?
Yeah.
It's confusing.
I don't know. All right, well, let's get into a little weather, shall we? It's 82 in New York. Oh, 63 in San Francisco. It's gone.
Well done.
Whoa. 82 in Baltimore.
I love how we just keep track of San Francisco's weather. Guys, it's too cold up there. Warm
it's freezing.
It up.
Not hot. 77 in Cleveland, 90 in Norfolk, 77 in Cleveland, 70 in Kansas City, and 84 already in Las Vegas. Now give us a vibe of the day.
One word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge. Choose your words wisely, people.
Choose your words wisely. All right, Jules. Well, coming up, what's the pettiest thing you've ever done during a breakup? We have some hilarious audio of a breakup gone bad coming up next.
McCann's mother has been forced to block dozens of calls after her ex-partner allegedly took her phone number and plastered it on poles here around the CBD, telling people to call up and impersonate Chewbacca for a chance to win $100.
Okay, so this story is so good and so fun that we had to share it to you all the way from Australia. This is Jessica is her name. She was inundated with Chewbacca calls after her ex-boyfriend of 3 years placed flyers all over their town advertising a Chewbacca competition with her number. Now, this was after Jessica dumped him for cheating on her. So he cheats on her. She dumps him. He's so salty about it that his petty little butt post flyers all over town with their phone number.
This is iconic. I'm not laughing, but I love Petty.
Well,
he is stupid.
The rules are, call in when you reach the voicemail, record your best Chewbacca sound, and the best impersonation is supposed to receive $100. No, I don't know if they ever actually gave that money out, but let's take a listen to one of first, let's take a listen to one of the calls she received.
$500.
Okay, that's the first call. Let's listen to actual Chewbacca and see if they're close. I mean, that's pretty good. Pretty impressive.
Oh my God, that's pretty good.
Like, I want to give that person $100.
Imagine the level of petty. You cheat on your girlfriend, she breaks up with you, and you make a Chewbacca contest that they have to leave on her voicemail. Honestly, I feel like I would get back together with him just based off what a moron he is. And well, I think it's hilarious.
Okay, but she's been inundated by these calls. They're all over her voicemail 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She's getting these Chewbacca calls randomly from people.
That is so annoying.
I'm curious, do you get petty after breakups?
I'm so petty.
I know one of your petty stories.
Okay, you know this, but the one, the theater?
Yes, the theater, the acting class.
Okay, well, here's what happened. So my ex and I went to the same acting class for like years, almost as long as we were together.
Oh, you're an actor? I didn't know that. What have I seen you in?
To be or not to be, that is the question. You knew it was coming. So when we broke up, he got to like keep the acting classes, and I was really mad. And then I wanted to prove a point, but I was already living in Vegas. I had my show and everything there. So one day I just decided to drive down to LA, and I went to a Sunday acting class, and I walked right in, and I knew he was going to be there. And I went and stood on stage, and everyone was like, wow, what are you doing here? And it was so awkward for everybody. And I was like, I'm here for acting class. What do you mean? What am I doing here? And they're like, it's been like 6 months. And I was like, well, I'm back. And he was so mad. And he had just started seeing this new girl. And he was trying to like...
Wait, but who broke up with who?
I broke up with him.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part to me.
That's all. But it was more so I was like claiming the territory of my acting class that I didn't even go to anymore, but felt the need to.
So you'd previously gone to that class.
We went for years together.
Oh, that's the part I missed.
That's the part you missed. So then I went on stage and I did this whole like monologue, and I was like, but I also knew I like looked really good. And I was like, what?
You're having a good day. You're like, yes. This is the day.
I was like, these jeans were fitting right.
Yep, I'm making my comeback.
The waist was looking small.
Mind you, you're not even interested in men anymore.
No, I wanted to go back. And, like, that is how petty I am. It had nothing to do with him wanting me back, but it was just like, I'm back.
Well, I think I'm not that petty, but then as I think about it, I have been pretty petty over the years. So when I was in college, I went to the Ohio State University. I dated this guy for years. Jimmy, he was a sweetheart. He's still a very good person. He's married now, happily married, whatever. I don't know that he's happily married, but he's married.
Isn't that always the case?
And we were together off and on all through college. And then he would sort of like disappear for a while, date somebody for a little bit, then come back. And I was so desperately in love with him, I always took him back. Well, I convinced him to move to New York City with me because I wanted to like chase my dreams. I wanted to be an actor. I was all these things. So we go to New York City from Columbus, Ohio. He's terrified. I convinced him to go. We get an apartment with some random dude in Harlem. Sharing this small, small apartment, one bathroom, whatever. We're together for like 6 months. Things start to get weird. I'm feeling like something's off. He's checking his phone a lot, not really around me. He's picking up the Motorola Razr. And I don't know what's
not
going on.
Not a Motorola Razr.
So I'm not the type of guy to ever check phones. But I did one time. Turns out he's in the shower. He gets a message from somebody saying basically, this is the radio safe version. I miss you in my bed.
No.
And I was like,
no.
And it was like a picture, a penis. And I was like, nope. What's that? So I confront him about it.
They were doing penis pics all the way back then?
Yes, it was really like pixelated. It was not good. But...
Maybe
it wasn't color.
Just his face.
It was. It totally could have been.
You couldn't tell.
Well, so we break up. He still lives with me for a little while. I pack him up, move him out eventually, whatever. He moves back to Ohio. I stay in New York. I move to LA, blah, 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 blah. I'm over it, right? I've moved on. This is 12, 13, 14 years ago. My book comes out 2 years ago, Flipping the Script. I dedicated a whole chapter to this story because he left me for the lead in a Chorus Line, the revival on Broadway. And I used to go have to wait tables at this restaurant outdoors on the sidewalk. And every single day, every hour, the bus would drive by. And the guy he was sleeping with is right there in the middle.
You.
In these gold lamé pants and a stuffed crotch.
Annoying.
Like, obviously, like, stuffed, but it was like a whatever. He was a dancer. And I wrote a whole story about how small this man's penis was. Who was the lead in the Chorus Line. I did not name him in my book.
Oh, my God.
But it is
you're
in print
so
for all
petty.
Eternity in the Library of Congress. So the world knows that Jimmy cheated on me with the lead from a Chorus
Honestly,
Line.
Honestly, get Jimmy on the line.
That is, kind of, line. That is kind of petty.
You're so petty. I will say this. A friend of mine, I will say Todrick Hall, I'll make it very quick because he's a good friend of ours and it was public knowledge. This boy cheated on him. His name was Danny.
Oh, I
and
know
the last
story.
Time I went to his concert, you know, Todrick does like full out concerts. He, he has a whole song that's a country song that he wrote.
Yep.
And in the whole song is dedicated to your, he calls him a hoe, his mom a hoe, he calls the whole family a hoe. And then at the end of the performance, he holds up photos of all the men that Danny cheated on him with, and then puts a photo of Danny on the big screen for every person in the nation and around the world to see who cheated on him. And it is the most iconic, petty thing I've ever seen. Honey, if you think you're going to cheat on Todrick Hall, you're about to be his opener in the concert. All right, Jazz, we're coming up. Homophobic trolls are coming for the community with LGBTQP. Find out what the P stands for and why it's so problematic for our community. Coming up next.
All right, so social media, sometimes great, sometimes not so great. This is an instance of it being not so great. So there were images going around on social media suggesting that the LGBTQ plus community and organizations have approved adding P to include the word pedophiles. Completely untrue, not true at all. Trolls all over social media are pushing fake acronym of LGBTP to associate gays with pedophile. Now, this is sort of, this is something I think that in the community we've dealt with since the beginning of time.
The minute that we started talking about this conversation, a particular association came up, NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association. It was founded by David Thorstad, and basically it teaches that love has no gender and no age. And basically you can be a young boy and a man, and it sort of normalizes falling in love. And I think that a lot of people, because of associations like this, associate LGBTQ with pedophilia. And that really is the most dangerous and problematic thing that could happen. We're fighting for love. We're not fighting for pedophilia.
It's so gross to conflate the two issues, because they have been since, I mean, as a young boy, this is something I've spent a lot of money on therapy for, and anybody in this community can probably, you know, has a similar story of the concern within churches or organizations or, you know, conservative groups that what happens next? We allow same-sex marriage. We're going to allow you to have sex with babies and animals and things like that. It's a slippery slope, and it's never ever been true. And it's so frustrating that we're still having this conversation. One of the images that was reshared on Facebook displayed the text "Love is gender and age blind." And if you don't actually read that and think about what that actually means, it might sound like it's a nice thought, like love is blind, that
right.
idea. But like, gender and age blind, when you really look at that, now that can mean that I could fall in love with a 70-year-old man, and that is very possible, and that is okay. But there's a very big distinction to be made between falling in love with somebody who is underage and two consenting adults. An 18-year-old and an 80-year-old falling in love is very different from a 17-year-old and an 80-year-old or a 30-year-old. It's just very, very different.
It is very different. And I think that because we're on topic, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell is being imprisoned right now. We know that Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself, and a lot of what surrounded that was pedophilia and human sex trafficking. And it was released, and why it's not on social, why it's not more on mainstream media, in the unsealed documents, it was said by one of Epstein's accusers that Bill Clinton was a part of, he was on the flight log, and he was seen with two underage women. And, you know, I don't know. The fact that it's not being talked about at all on mainstream media is a little concerning for me, but that would be, if he was with underage women, pedophilia. And I don't know why people are constantly coming after the LGBTQ community, but they don't go after other stories that.
We see it coming from members of the straight community left and right all day, every day of the year, all the time, since the beginning of time. And so to make this seem as if it is an issue that uniquely plagues our community is absurd. And it's just, it plays
into
people's...
But it's because no attention is brought to the hetero community, in my opinion. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein has been very quickly swept under the rug.
They get away with everything.
And this is nothing to do with conspiracy. I mean, this is just facts of what's been happening. And for it to be said that Bill Clinton was with underage women, and for it not to be... I mean, look on the news. You did not see it at all this weekend. Many people didn't even know. There was also a huge protest, a huge march this weekend here in Hollywood that was called Save the Children, because July 30th is the National Human Trafficking Day. There were protests really all over the U.S. not talked about. Nobody posts about it.
Well, it's interesting how all these issues, they tend to peg them onto our community as if we're the problem.
Yeah.
As if we are the issue. When child sex trafficking is a massive, massive issue in this country. But you also have to look back. Like, I remember thinking after the Sandy Hook massacre took place. We're going to call it a massacre because that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we still did not act on gun reform. After 20-some children were murdered, we still would not act on gun reform. And we see things like, listen, the abortion issue has been going on for decades and decades, yet those same people who claim to be pro-life and call pro-choicers, you know, baby murderers, are the same people who don't want same-sex couples to adopt children. They'd rather those kids sit in foster care for their entire lives and never know the love of, you know, a same-sex couple of parents who take care of them. So there's this nation, there's a reckoning coming in when it comes to how we protect our children.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to throw our children back into school right now,
mm-hmm.
during a global pandemic because we just don't care enough as a nation. Our government doesn't look out for our children. Time and time and time again.
And I will say it again, 800,000 children a year mm-hmm. go missing. And this is sort of brought in the conversation, but I think what I'm trying to get back to is to put LGBTQP
yep.
is so problematic when you're not willing to even talk about pedophilia that hit the news just this yep. week after unsealed documents mm-hmm. were released. Like, that's more of a problem to me. I think it just really
Jeffrey Epstein wasn't
me.
Trying to recruit young men. He was getting young girls.
Yeah.
He was a straight guy.
Yeah. And I think I'm just really tired of that.
Yeah.
You know, one time Lisa and I had posted a photo. Maybe this is why I feel triggered. We posted a photo like 2 years or 3 years ago, and somebody said, oh, what are you guys, pedophiles, you D word, and used the derogatory mm-hmm. word for lesbian. And I remember I've never been so disgusted and upset. It affected me.
Because also I think we know what it's like to not feel safe as children because we're carrying a truth that the rest of the world doesn't respect or understand or appreciate or is willing to protect. So as adults, I think it makes us more deeply empathetic
right.
and protective
but
of children.
But I love a woman, not children.
Yep.
And to continue putting us in that box, it's problematic.
And Lisa is all woman.
And Lisa's all woman on it.
That's right.
Yes, she is. Talk about age gap, bunny. Just kidding. Sorry, Lisa.
Ooh, you're going to have to explain that when you get home.
I'm going to have to do the dishes. All right, you guys. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', Britney Spears' father is speaking out amid the conservatorship drama. We'll have those details coming up next.
We are the new Channel Q, and we're so happy to have you here with us. Now, Michaela's got some celebrity gossip coming up in What's Poppin' in just a moment, so stick around for that. But it's super important to us that here at Channel Q and our entire Radio.com family, we do everything we can to help those in need whenever we can, wherever we can. Right now in Southern California, children and their families, they really need our help. They're going to bed hungry. So we've decided to create an easy way for you to help feed local students and their families. All you have to do, text the word NEED to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry child and their loved ones. It's just $1. Makes a huge, huge difference. We spend more than that on a cup of coffee every day or on the parking meter as we park
right.
to go in and get that cup of coffee. So $1 really can make a difference. Learn more about the Feed Our Families initiative on our socials and at wearechannelq.com. While you're there, download the radio.com app. Listen to The Morning Beat each and every day. We get turned into a podcast after we go off the air. So if you can't listen to us live or if there's something you missed, download the app. Take
That's
us
right.
with you. So a lot of cool things you can do right now to help others and also just help us out by listening to us.
That's
We'd
right.
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have for us, though, in What's Poppin'?
All right, babe. Well, hashtag Free Britney is nothing new. We've been talking about it for a while, but now her dad, Jamie Spears, is speaking up about being in charge of her conservatorship. As we know, her fans have been dragging him, saying that he's controlling her. So he spoke to the press and he said, all these conspiracy theorists don't know anything. The world don't have a clue. It's up to the court of California to decide what's best for my daughter. It's no one else's business. I have to report every nickel and dime spent to the court every year. How would I steal something? People are being stalked and targeted with death threats. It's horrible. We don't want those kind of fans. However, her brother, Brian, who also, I didn't even know she had a brother, to be honest. Didn't even know that. Her brother recently revealed that his sister has wanted to be freed from the conservatorship for a while. Now, he said in the beginning there was a need for it. Now they've made some changes. What we can do is hope for the best. He did say that he speaks to Britney constantly and hinted at her thoughts of someone else managing her financial affairs. He said she always wanted to get out. It's very frustrating to have, whether someone's coming in peace to help or they're coming with an attitude. Having someone constantly tell you to do something has got to be frustrating, and she's wanted to get out for some time. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know the whole story. I don't want to get all crazy, you know, deep into this, but she has not left her home since March. As we can see from her Instagram, every Instagram video that she's done where she's talking to her fans is inside her home or in her garden.
Yeah.
When her gym burnt down, she said she couldn't afford, she couldn't get it fixed. I mean, it's Britney Spears. And you do have to wonder,
she's
why
had a new,
is that?
A new single was released just
Mood
a week
ring.
Or two.
We
Mood
just
Ring just came out
it.
From her last album a few years back. But she's 38 years old and she's gone through some rough spots. And listen, do I think that she is in a mentally completely healthy place? No. Just based on her videos alone on Instagram. Does that mean that she should not have any the right to make choices on her life of her own funds and her own mental health based on, you know, the fact that she's a successful woman? Absolutely not. I don't understand. We went into the Britney Spears zone right down the street right before the pandemic happened. Had a great time. Found out, though, a little bit problematic. She doesn't make any money off of
that.
Well,
I'm going to tell you this. If she's mentally capable enough to hold a Vegas residency with dancing and singing and being picked up and thrown around in the air, I think she's mentally capable to go get a Starbucks down the street and leave her home.
Yep.
And I think that's a big problem. But we'll continue keeping you updated with the details. Now, coming up in our final hour, this story has just really pleased me. And it's about a man who lost one of his genitals due to a blood infection. Turns out, though, his genitals are growing back. Not in the places you would think. We have that story coming up for you in the next hour.
We've got a great final hour coming up for you in about 15 minutes from right now. We have a story that is almost, you have to hear it to believe it. A man lost his genitalia, and doctors were able to grow it back in a very unexpected place. I'll just tell you this much. It's not where you'd think it would go. That's all I'll say.
I mean, listen, I saw this story, and I actually thought it was a joke.
Nope.
And then I read it, and I was like,
science is wild.
Psych.
Science is wild. So you're going to stick around for that conversation in 15 minutes from right now. It's going to be a doozy. Michaela Gordon first. It's time to be adults. You ready for some news on the beat?
Yes, I am.
Bring
the story
it.
Is painful. Microsoft says it may buy TikTok from its Chinese owner after President Trump announced plans to ban the popular video sharing app because of national security concerns. The president's claim sent users into a frenzy, and some tech experts worry that banning the app would only make other tech giants like Facebook more powerful. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says Trump will take action on TikTok in the coming days. If he wants to ban it, he could try to do it through emergency economic powers or an executive order, although it's not clear what legal challenges that would face. Microsoft, I'm counting on you. I'm finally a TikTok video star.
You've been a star for 48 hours.
And I am living in it. I'm thriving in it. I actually have a driver now.
No, you don't.
Uber. And
I'm
famous. But we'll have more of that. We'll go deeper into conversation. We did earlier today. You can go back to our podcast. If you forgot, we turned into a podcast. Go to wearechannelq.com to listen. Now, this story is much more serious. More than 1,000 Southern California firefighters and multiple aircraft worked Sunday to battle the Apple Fire near Beaumont, which had spread to more than 20,000 acres, sent smoke drifting to Arizona, and continued to threaten thousands of homes in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. Now, the massive blaze, which began Friday evening as two smaller fires that eventually merged, was fed by low humidity, a slight breeze, thick vegetation, and triple-digit temperatures. By midday Sunday, the Apple Fire had scorched 20,000 acres, more than 32 square miles, destroyed three structures, and was 5% contained by 8 p.m. Now, Sunday night, about 7,800 people from 2,600 residences have been ordered to evacuate. No injuries have been reported as of midday Sunday. You know, as I'm thinking about it, though, I drove from Vegas last night, And I didn't thankfully see while I was going through like the Cajon and through San Bernardino. I didn't see anything. Thankfully, we must have been far enough away.
We've been lucky with fire season that like this year compared to last year. Last year was so tragic.
Last year
globally
was rough.
But what are you saying, Justin, our producer, speaking to me right now?
I think it's less people being out and about.
Well, yeah,
COVID.
Totally. Yeah, you're right.
You're a Southern California native, yeah?
Born and raised.
There it is. Yeah, he knows. Yeah, I grew up in Ohio.
Well, you know the area specifically that I'm speaking of. Are the fires by you?
So Beaumont is closer to Palm Springs than we are. Like, I live in Ontario, so it's on the way, but like we can see the smoke, but that's about it.
Yeah, I remember last year it felt like the whole, like, all of California
was
up in flames for a year.
I know, it was awful. Well, it's a perfect time to get into a little weather, so let's do it. It's 91 in Palm Springs, 88 in Houston, 72 in Kansas City, 99 in Phoenix, 84 in Baltimore, 79 in Cleveland, and 81 in Pittsburgh. Now hit us with the vibe of the day.
One word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge.
I love it.
Choose your words wisely. Just one word can change somebody's
day. Use your words wisely. All right, you guys. Coming up, this story is kind of wild. After a man lost his genitals to a blood infection, turns out it's growing back, but not in the places you would think. We have these details coming up next.
If you thought you heard the tease a moment ago wrong, you're wrong, actually, because we're talking about a story of a man over in the United Kingdom who lost his penis to a blood infection and had a new one built by a doctor. We're talking about Malcolm McDonald, 45 years old. He's a mechanic. Now, he suffered a horrific infection in his perineum that turned his fingers, toes, and his manhood black. Okay? Got real sick.
This whole story is making me cringe already.
It makes me so, so uncomfortable. He says he was completely gutted. He knew it was coming. For a couple of years, he'd been sick. He said it was like a horror film that one day it, quote, just dropped off on the floor.
Ah!
Back in 2014. He tossed it in the trash. Found a doctor, though, that is apparently called the Penis Master. He's Professor David Ralph of London University College Hospital. He's able to help him out. Not only for functionality, to be able to go to the restroom again, but to be able to use it in other ways as
well. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I think that he would be a really popular, he would do very well in the gay clubs.
Well, listen.
I feel like people would be very excited to see this.
Well, this is very serious for this man. I mean, obviously, this is a big deal. Like,
I'm taking it seriously, but also he's got a penis on his arm.
Well, but he you just gave away the story.
Sorry.
He's growing him back a penis on his arm, on his forearm, and here's the kicker. It takes about 2 years for this to fully grow.
So where's he at now? A year and a half? Or
yeah, well,
a year?
There's a photo of him in this article, and it's blurred because you can't show that online because that's inappropriate. But he's actually growing one back on his forearm using skin grafts. That's the amazing technology that these doctors have available to them nowadays. Can you imagine, though, for 2 years, this man has to walk around with the penis on his forearm.
I mean, for lesbians, that sounds like a Friday night. I'm not going to lie.
I don't even know. This is a lot. I don't know. Like, of course, if I were in this situation, I can't even think about this. But if I were in this situation, I don't know. Like, what do you wear? Like baggy sweaters for
he
2 years?
He said he wears a baggy sweater and he lets it.
Well, not here. His sleeves are rolled up in this photo.
Well, yeah, because he had to show us what he was working with.
Well,
he also
decided for just $65,000 more to have the doctor go ahead and add 2 inches.
No, he didn't.
To what he had previously been working with.
Okay, you know what? He deserves it. If you've had to live since 2014 without a penis, you should be able to make it you're the size that you would like.
We're talking over $30,000 per inch. Like, you better get your money's worth.
Yeah.
That's wild
to me.
They should
just give it to him. He's like, been through enough, this poor man.
I'm visibly shaken. I can feel myself. I feel nauseous
so
just talking about this.
So can you have intercourse when you're not... When it's
well, not with it on the arm, Michaela.
I'm asking it's a just, question
so
for the, our listeners.
So basically,
our listeners want to know.
It is on the arm to just
our
grow.
Our producer is literally throwing his arm around like an
well,
animal. You
nerves
can't
and things like that, well, that'll all be attached later once they actually attach it back to his groin area. His testicles are still in place. He just does not have a penis right now. He does. It's on his arm.
Oh
I just,
God,
I'm
this
literally,
is so intense. No,
okay, no, yeah.
No,
yeah, that's how
no, 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 hell no.
I feel like I'm sweating. My palms are sweating. I feel nervous right now. I feel
like
a little bit nauseous.
I'm nervous, and it's been a long time for me, honey, since I've
seen one.
But that is, so then what happens? So then, let's say you get the surgery in December.
Okay, so it's supposed to be attached. Well, they've had to cancel multiple times because of the coronavirus. So he's just got this.
Oh, my God. Talk about COVID really ruining someone's life.
So he's got this male genitalia just hanging off his forearm right now because he can't go back to the hospital because it's technically an elective surgery, I guess, because of COVID-19. So maybe he'll get an extra inch out of it. Maybe he'll get a free inch. Maybe he'll just keep on growing.
Honestly,
I don't know how that works.
If you think 2020 wasn't wild, to know that a penis is growing on some man's forearm to help give him another new penis.
Well, so this doctor, though, this magical doctor, though, had built a penis for a man years prior. They called it the bionic penis for Andrew Wardle. He was born without one.
What happened to him?
He was born without one.
So they made him one?
This made him one.
And then the feeling is the same.
I mean, maybe not quite the same, but it's better than you don't have one or it fell off in the trash can, which is what happened to this gentleman.
And he just threw it away. He didn't even bother you know what? Actually, let's roll this back. If your penis falls into the trash can, you don't want to pick it up? You don't want to try to save it?
Well, he did, to throw it in the trash. Here's the thing, though. This.
You don't want to Lorena Bobbitt it? You don't want to try
Don't go there.
Listen, I just said
you're inappropriate. Well, the infection had taken place for years.
Listen, they did. They went back to the desert, and they had desire to get that penis out of the desert.
Well,
he can just pull it out of the trash can? Could have saved himself some time.
Well, he had years to prepare for this. He knew it was coming. His skin was getting black. It was happening to his fingers and toes as well because of the infection.
Justin needs to say something.
Guys, this is a miracle of science.
Yes, thank you.
God bless science. I mean, if anything was to ever happen to me down there, I mean, I thought my life would be over.
How?
This guy has a new lease on life.
I couldn't exist. How dare you, as a woman, try to hijack this segment, Michaela Legorne? You don't even know.
I just say get it out of the trash can. Listen, one time, Lisa, before I met her, cut her fingertip off with one of those slicers when you cook. And so
like a grater, like a cheese? Or like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so she went to the hospital. She drove herself.
Okay.
And she saved a little tip of her finger. She called it a little hat.
I'm kind of over this conversation.
And then she took it to the hospital and they sewed it back on.
You know what would be good right now? Music.
Fine. Get it out of the trash.
You know what? Life does, in fact, go on. There's a lot of scary stuff happening in the world right now, but there's so many great things happening. We've got a couple of inspirational stories to send you off into your week. But first, we're doing something really fantastic here at Channel Q and Radio.com. So right now, children and their families all over Southern California and across the country, they're going to bed hungry. So we've decided to create a very easy way for you to help feed local students and their families by texting the word NEED to 76278 to give a buck and put food in the mouth of a hungry kid and their loved ones. Listen, just $1 can make a huge difference. It's less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Learn more about Feed Our Families on our socials and at WeAreChannelQ.com. Also, look into what organizations might be in your city or in your state or national where you can just give a couple dollars and help out those in need, because we all just need to look out for each other right now. Please and thank you.
Absolutely.
Now, this first story in Life Goes On. In a groundbreaking vote, Mexico City bans conversion therapy. This is a big, big deal. They're the latest municipality to ban anti-LGBTQ+ conversion therapy, a blanket term, of course, for a variety of often harmful treatments, quote-unquote, used to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. Not only has conversion therapy been thoroughly discredited, its practices have been likened to torture, but they have now banned it. This is a huge win for the community and for those around the world. Now, members of the city's regional congress voted to criminalize such practices in a virtual session held on Friday, though final vote totals are still unknown. Kudos to them. They've actually made it illegal.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
great.
Cool. Pretty cool.
All right, well, I love this story. Say her name, Breonna Taylor. We have been discussing this. The police officers have yet to be arrested. And, you know, I will say, thanks to social media, she's not being forgotten, although those police officers have not been arrested. But for the first time ever in the history of O Magazine, Oprah did not grace the cover. Now, for all these years, it's always just
been 20
years
they've been around, yeah.
Face. However, Breonna Taylor is the first face besides Oprah to ever grace the cover of the magazine, with a quote next to her face that says, "If you turn a blind eye to racism, you become an accomplice to it. And she made an Instagram post. She said, Breonna Taylor, she was just like me. She was just like you. And like everyone who dies unexpectedly, she had plans for a future filled with responsibility and work and friends and laughter. She goes on to compliment her. And she goes on to talk about how the police have yet to be arrested.
It's so easy to view people as like a political story. Like you take an angle because either you believe that all lives matter or black lives matter or blue lives matter or whatever it is you think you believe because of what you're being fed by the media or by your politicians. But Breonna Taylor, like Oprah said, she was a human. She had plans and hopes and dreams.
She was just a little girl. She was young. Yes. I mean, she's in her early 20s. And somebody put it in such a perspective that made me so sad. They said, imagine your daughter finally crawling into bed exhausted after working two jobs as an essential worker during COVID-19 mm-hmm. and being shot in her own home. And you know that feeling when you've been hustling and you've been working and you finally just get into bed. You're so tired.
Think about a no-knock warrant. Think about being awakened in the middle of the night by somebody pounding your door down and then just firing recklessly.
Yeah. It just breaks my heart. It's so sad. So you know what, Breonna Taylor, we're not forgetting you. I hope that in heaven, wherever you are, you can see that you are just so loved and remembered.
Way to go, Oprah. I couldn't think of a better person to grace the cover other than her. Now, this is a fun follow-up to a story we did last week for you. Remember the stolen teddy bear with the woman's late mom's voice recorded on it? It was from Build-A-Bear. She had a message for her. She died, I believe, of cancer or something up in Vancouver, Canada. Ryan Reynolds then went on social media, offered a reward. The bear has been returned
without
a single scratch on her. Two kind Samaritans returned her to us in a safe space, voice there and everything. Just missing your glasses. That's okay. It's okay. She's still got her mother's voice.
That's all that matters.
And this is a happy, happy ending to a really really kind of sad story.
Imagine if your mom passed and left her voice in a Build-A-Bear and that's all you had.
The bear had been in her backpack. It was stolen along with an iPad, a Nintendo Switch, and a pair of passports from the cab of a U-Haul she and her fiance had rented to move into a new apartment last week. Apparently, somebody felt bad about it and returned the bear.
Listen, I'm so happy. It shows that, you know, even thieves hopefully have a moral compass.
Where's the iPad and the passports?
Listen, you can live without that, but totally. You give back the bear. All right, well, that concludes our Monday show. We hope that you had a good time. I had a great time. It was actually a much better Monday than I expected it to be.
Yes, I live for Mondays now.
I do, too.
You know it's right around the corner, though.
What?
Tuesday.
No, you hate Tuesday. We're going to have a great show, though. We have a really important show, you know, as evictions are happening now more than ever.
Yeah.
We have some things that you need to know that can really protect you and your family. So we are joined by a really great attorney, Scott M. Richter. He practices here in L.A. and also in Palm Springs.
Moratoriums across the country are expiring now, so people need to know. They need to know what they need to know.
Absolutely. So you do not want to miss that. Please take care of yourselves today. Enjoy your day. Set your intentions to start the week. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. And we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.